Today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Today on Hot Grease, we'll be talking the Singing Chef. But up first, every week, food headlines. All right, y'all. I just have to say one thing. Listen very closely. Do not buy bagged salad. There was a bagged salad recall in 10 states last week. Yikes. I mean, this is like the third or fourth time this has happened. Okay, I just think people should just go and buy salad, cut it up, wash it at home, and put it in your own bag. This is so scary. This is like it's exactly a month after the last major salad recall. I've just forgotten at this point how many salad recalls we had. So I just want to tell everybody, please stop if you can buying bag salad. It's the worst. It's actually cheaper when you buy a big bunch of spinach, soak it in the water for a minute, make sure all the grit is off, and put it in your own bag. Because this is ridiculous. Thank you to, I actually saw this on Twitter via The Stir. Adriana Valles wrote this for The Stir. And what the funniest thing is, the comments from people. So, I think that had to be the biggest food headline I saw last week. Another food headline, and more so I just want to say shout out to Harlem, had their first night farmers market, and I think this is a great thing. It's a model for the entire country. So it's supposed to be the first in New York City where they did a farmers market at night. So shout out to them. Very brief food headline because we have the fabulous Singing Chef Jackie Gordon in the studio. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more with Jackie. Keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network.
Nature's Wrath by the Nudos Band on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
White Oak Pastures is the only farm in the United States that has its own USDA-inspected red meat abattoir or slaughterhouse and its own USDA-inspected poultry abattoir or slaughterhouse. We partner with Whole Foods to deliver our high-quality meat and poultry from Miami, Florida, all the way to Princeton, New Jersey. One family, one farm, five generations, 145 years. A full circle return to sustainable land stewardship and humane animal stockmanship. For more information, please visit our website, whiteoakpastures.com.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I'm so excited to have Jackie Gordon in the studio. Jackie.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to be
welcome
here.
Welcome to Hot Grease. I must say, you're a woman of many talents. You're an event producer, blogger, chocolate professional, and last but not least, a singer. I'm sure I missed a million things, Jackie.
We don't want to talk about all the other things.
You know what? The most fascinating thing about you is that you rarely find folks like you. You're a native New Yorker, right?
Yes, I am what they call a unicorn.
Also, that's what I need to start calling them, a unicorn, huh? Yeah, you're a native. I love hearing your stories.
Yes, I was born in New York Hospital. I got the brand.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. And you grew up, did you grow up in Brooklyn or did you grow up in Manhattan?
I lived in the city when I was a kid in the Lower East Side. When it was cool before. Before. Wow. And then it went down and we moved to Brooklyn. And that was way before that ever got cool. And we're still in Brooklyn.
So what part of Brooklyn did you grow up?
I grew up in Borum Hill, where I live now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Were you calling that Borum Hill then?
Yes, it was still called Borm Hill.
Well, the reason why I'm saying that, because there are certain parts of Borm Hill, at least what I think Borm Hill, people will say it's Carroll Gardens.
Right. Well, there's Carroll Gardens in this Borm Hill. I used to host a TV show about the neighborhood, Bococa.
Yeah.
That's new. That was new when it was, you know, probably that was like 8 years ago. That was new. But Borm Hill was always Borm Hill, where I live. But they've kind of moved the lines here and there. But Carroll Gardens is there too, and Cobble Hill, and, you know, Brooklyn Heights. We were the kind of the, what would you call it, the bastard cousin? You know, kind of like the wrong side of the tracks.
Borm Hill.
Oh, yeah. In the old days.
So what was food like growing up in Borm Hill? What were the places like to go and pick up your bread? Or
there was, well, bread. That's an interesting thought. We didn't have the cool bakeries we have now. The Paisano's Butchers has always been there.
Oh, wow.
Always been there. There was nothing on Smith Street. There was like the Cuban Chinese place, the bulletproof Chinese places, you know, the ones where they had the sliding thing. You had to, you couldn't just reach out and touch anybody. They had to slide the food down. That was it. Sahadi's was there. Oh, and the diner, the one on the corner of Atlantic and Smith. What's it called? I forget.
Oh, that place has been there forever. Really?
Yeah, I forget what it's called. My brother used it. What was it called? I don't remember.
It's like an orange and brown logo. Yeah. So I have to ask you about Sahadi's, only because I saw you tweet a few photos of the new Sahadi's.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gone in there since they expanded the spot. And we're going to need to tell some people who are listening, because people from all over the country, really, we have some international folks that listen to Hot Grease. Explain Sahadi's. It is the place.
Sahadi's was the only place. I mean, there's other Middle Eastern stores on Atlantic Avenue, but it's been there since like 1948. It's family owned. It's still family owned. It is a Middle Eastern store. It's like a food. It's like one of the best food stores in New York City.
I agree.
And when I was a kid, it was only one shop. And then it expanded to the two, and recently expanded to the three stores. They own, I think, those two buildings next to each other. And Charlie Sahadi's my hero. I mean, he is so cool. He's just the like loveliest man in retail. I mean, he comes in and practically hugs all his customers when you go in there.
Yeah.
And they have like bulk foods, you know.
Oh my gosh.
Before people had bulk foods, they were like, they always had bulk grains and bulk olives and bulk nuts and chocolate and fruits. And it's just an awesome store.
It is the best place to go to get spices.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything. You just have to go to Sahadi's in Brooklyn if you're coming to Brooklyn. Brooklyn.
But they also make the best hummus. In the land. I don't even make it because I'm like, you know what? I can't make it better than them, so I might as well just go buy it from them. And it is the bomb.
So speaking of traveling,
Now,
Jackie, you've lived outside of Brooklyn,
very far outside of Brooklyn.
I know, right? where did you live before?
Australia.
How long were you there? And what took you to Australia?
I went there because I used to work at the River Cafe back in the land before time. At the River Cafe down in Brooklyn. And when I wanted to get out of the restaurant business, I really wanted to get out of the restaurant business. And I was like, how far can I go? And my girlfriend was going to Australia, so I decided to hitch on her ride and meet her there. And when I got there, I was evil. Having worked in the restaurant business in front of the house for all that time, I was kind of like snarly and very demanding. And I calmed down over 3 months in Australia. I was like, I came in like a lion and I went out like a lamb.
And so the whole month here on Hot Grease, I've been talking about travel and food and how those two worlds intersect. When you think about Australia, and if someone who's listening to the show now is like, I need to go there.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say? What do I think of? I think about meat pies.
Meat pies.
What are the iconic dishes or things when people think
Australian food? And when you're talking like real Aussie fare? Because Australia has amazing food, but it's a lot
Aussie
of
fare.
It's very influenced by Asia and by Mediterranean food,
because
they've got a big, huge population. The largest population of Greeks outside of Greece live in Melbourne.
Oh, wow.
And so a lot of the influences are very Asian because it's in the South Pacific. And when I think about real Aussie food, I think about a Sunday dinner, like a roast dinner. And that would be like a lamb roast with roast potatoes and roast pumpkin. They eat an incredible amount of pumpkin soup in that country.
Oh, really?
Yes. Everywhere I went, every restaurant had pumpkin soup on the menu. Pumpkin soup. But the thing about the pumpkins in Australia is that they have a lot of flavor.
Mm.
I mean, they're delicious pumpkins. Roast pumpkin there, it's like you want to eat it on everything. Salad, pizza, it is awesome. It's really good.
And so outside of Australia, you do a lot of traveling. And I feel like I saw this summer, you were going everywhere. Didn't you go to Alaska this summer?
I did go to Alaska.
Did you have blubber? What is it that people eat? It's some kind of like whale fat or something.
I didn't get into that part of Alaska where people actually care about food. I was kind of in a hostage situation.
Oh my God. Heck no. That's hilarious.
I was a food hostage. I won't say what cruise line I was on because we already had enough trouble with that cruise line and me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I got a little trouble on the boat. And what I found was very interesting because, you know, I'm big on Twitter.
Yes.
And I love tweeting. And you should never, a tip from me, listen very carefully. Do not tweet when you're in a hostage situation.
So what, as I say, what happened?
Well, when you were talking about salad out of a bag.
Oh my God.
So we paid good money to be on this boat, and we were, you know, they have different classes, and we were kind of in the first class, and in the first class you get to eat in the first class dining room kind of thing.
Yeah.
And when I went to lunch the first day, the salad was old, and I hate, one thing I can't stand is when I get a salad
That's the worst. It's all nasty.
And I was like, seriously? The first time I'm on this boat and I get this nasty salad? So then I went to where the other people eat, which is a big cafeteria, and I see, oh, beautiful fresh arugula. Lovely and green. I'm thinking, why couldn't they put that upstairs for the VIPs? I think we should get the fresher salad, personally. And or everyone should get fresh salad. It shouldn't be an either or. And I was like, fine. And then I eat in another one of the restaurants, a French restaurant. They have all these restaurants. They upsell you to go in these other restaurants. You pay more money.
On the boat.
Yeah. I won't tell you what cruise line because I don't want to get in more trouble with them.
I've never been on a cruise, by the way.
I wouldn't do it unless the food is amazing, and it isn't. So it's, you're feeding 3,000 people. You know, all day long. I mean, there was some horrors that I saw on this boat. Anyway, so I go to this, I'm in the other restaurant, and I get another salad, and the salad's old, and I'm like, seriously, the salad's old again. So I say to the waitress, the salad's old, and she like kind of ignores me. And then this man comes in his cruise, you know, with the bars and stuff. He's like the maitre d' or something. And he's like, the salad. He says, how is everything? And I said, well, the salad's old. And he's like, you know, I hope it's better next time.
Wow.
And I was like, really? No one's going to do anything about this.
Wow, that's deep.
And then I might have tweeted something about other things that I saw, and then someone made the mistake of asking me what ship I was on, and then I said it, and then everybody on the ship started coming to me.
Really?
Yes. I got emails, I got letters in the door, I got people, they were all over me. I had two people trying to
take in a good way. They were trying to rectify the.
Well, I mean, they couldn't really rectify the situation. All they could do is try and get me to shut up. They were like, "Let's make her shut up. We'll give her free food. We'll take her on a tour of the bridge. Just make her stop tweeting."
Well, I mean, hey, that's the thing about social media and travel now. I mean, people need to be on their A games at all the time. At all times.
Well, I can get instant. I mean, I tried it the other night here in New York. Not about a restaurant, but I got a cab refused to pick me up. And I was like, you know what? The Taxi and Limousine Commission should be on Twitter. So when I'm standing there on the street and the guy won't pick me up, I can say, hey, number, whatever the car number was, didn't pick me up.
Well, I see a lot of times some of my friends on Foursquare, actually, when they get in a cab, they put the cab number in their check-in. Clay does that a lot. Clay Williams, he'll do it, and like you'll see B, da-da-da-da, moving Target. I think it's cool when people do that.
I mean, if he's just doing it as a matter of course, or he's doing it to protect himself.
I don't know. We'll have to ask Clay. We'll have to ask Clay.
But he wouldn't pick me up, and it wasn't a Brooklyn thing either. It was I had too much stuff, and he didn't want to stop and put it in the car.
Wow, that's deep.
I was like, really? It's 1 o'clock in the morning, sir.
All right, that's hilarious, Jack. We're gonna take a break, but we're gonna come back, and we're gonna hear your voice.
My voice.
Keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Don't cry to me about your heartache. How your baby's up and gone.
Fried Chicken Blues, Jackie Gordon, the Heritage Radio.
Don't cry to me about your heartache. How your baby's up and gone. 'Cause I got troubles of my own now. I'm staring at an empty bone. I've got the somebody's ate my last piece of fried chicken blues. I got the somebody's ate my last piece of fried chicken blues. These eyes have seen some ugly things, but I never thought a man could be so cruel.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Remember, you can check all of our show times and programs and archives on heritageradionetwork.org. If you're just tuning in, or if you heard this that last song, that was actually the incomparable Jackie Gordon singing Fried Chicken Blues, right?
Mm-hmm, the Fried Chicken Blues.
So, Jackie, tell me about the song, but more so before you tell me about the song, singing and food, how did you marry the two? Well, you're writing the songs, actually.
Yeah, those are my songs. Well, I decided, I mean, I always cooked and I always sang. And when I did, when I was living in Australia, I lived there for 10 years. I never answered that for you.
Oh, wow. 10 years.
Mm-hmm. And when I lived there, I had a show called Black Pearls and Strange Fruit, the history of Black American women singers and their struggle for racial dignity.
Oh, wow.
And that was in the Melbourne Fringe Festival, and it won Best Show of the Melbourne Fringe. And what that meant was that I got put into the Melbourne International Festival of the Arts a year later. So mm-hmm. I decided I needed something to keep my name in lights. And I always wanted to do a show that was about food. And I wanted to reinvent the dinner show. So I created a show called The Fried Chicken Theory, according to Jackie Gordon, which was based on my theory that people who make soul music grew up on soul food. So people who love soul music should be able to have an evening where they can have soul food and soul music together in Australia.
Oh, wow. So in addition to that, some of you just told me about a new title you wrote recently, right?
we did this when there was that what was it, the thing that happened in Japan that was horrible, the nuclear power plant, was that the thing that happened?
Yeah, that was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, so a bunch of food bloggers got together and decided to create a nudie foodie calendar.
Yeah.
And I was one of them. And that was available through some book company that you could pay for. And then you got pictures of naked food bloggers with food and or semi-naked suggestible shots. And so I decided for the promotion of that to rewrite the words to the song Crazy, the Patsy Cline tune, to a song called Naked.
So you going to sing a little bit? Just
it's very funny.
A few bars.
A few bars. Naked. I'm crazy for trying to cook naked. I'm naked, naked and angry at you. You said, oh baby, it would be so sexy. Now I'm burned. Oh, why did I listen to you?
I love that.
It's very funny. It goes, bacon, why did I try to fry bacon? It's very funny.
So... all these, you have a few of these songs on the Diva That Ate New York, which is actually your food blog, or where you
post. Yeah, on JackieGordon.com. My blog lives on, the Diva That Ate New York lives on that site, JackieGordon.com.
Yeah, so you have a few of those food songs, but I feel like I'm hearing you sing, and I heard the song. Honestly, that was my first time. When you sent me the Fried Chicken Blues, and you sent me another song about the cheese, mm-hmm. I was like, damn, Jackie can sing. Are you going to bring this to the masses? What are you thinking?
I'm doing it, girl. I'm bringing it to the masses, finally. I've been kind of like... hiding in what I like to call my chocolate, what do I call it, like in a well, I fell down into a pool of chocolate. I'm in the chocolate business. I own Divalicious Chocolate Events, and we do chocolate fountains and chocolate tastings and chocolate and wine pairings and all kinds of chocolate stuff. And I used to have a chocolate store in the city here, but thankfully that's closed. And so when I went to go into the I didn't mean to go into the chocolate business. I was looking to do a show about chocolate. And I took a weird turn, and I wound up in the chocolate
business. So you have a whole bunch of songs about chocolate?
No, I'm going to do... what I do is I usually write one tune, like the Fried Chicken Blues was for the Fried Chicken show. The Naked one doesn't have a show, because until I do a naked cooking show, that'll probably be the song.
I want to see that.
The cheese song that you talked about, you'll hear later, that's from my show Say Cheese, which is hilarious. The song's hilarious. The show's pretty funny, too, which is a wine and cheese tasting. So now I'm working on my new show. Choc Cabaret. And it's a combination cabaret and artisanal chocolate tasting of all New York chocolate makers.
Wow. So it'll be small producers.
All small. Yeah, all artisanal. There's not going to be any really big brands in the show. They're all going to be chocolates that are made here, local chocolates.
So how many songs will you write? Have you already started, or do you taste some of the chocolate first and then get inspired?
No, what I usually do is I write a song that's for the show, like the Fried Chicken Blues. I'll write a song about chocolate, and the kind of direction that I'm going in now is a song about what people say about chocolate, because being in the chocolate business, I get to hear a lot of what people say, like, I want to take a bath in it. I just want you to rub it all over me. You know, people who love chocolate get very emotional about chocolate.
Right.
So the song will have a lot of those things in it. And then I match the chocolates to songs that people know. because I want them to remember something about the chocolate. So not to write a song for every chocolate doesn't make sense, but for me to do something like, there's if I were doing like a 91%, this bar will not be in the show because it's not a local chocolate, but there's a guitar bar that's a 91%. And a lot of people don't really care for that chocolate because it's so dark. You know, it has so
much sugar. Oh, I love dark chocolate.
Some people love it, but it's the song I would pair with it would be the Bonnie Raitt tune, I Can't Make You Love Me If You Don't.
Oh, I love it.
Because the truth is, you either like that chocolate or you hate that chocolate. So that's the kind of thing I would do where I'd pair the chocolate with a song.
So let me ask you this, Jackie. This idea is so unique. Is there anyone else like in the country, in the world, that actually has done like a cabaret style thing that's all about food?
I do not believe so. I think I'm the only person who does what I do. I mean, I've done it with cheese, and I did my big show with chicken. My chicken show is off the hook because it's a huge dinner show with a gospel choir. That was a great show. But so I think I'm the only person I know who does singing chef the way that I do it. There are other people who are singing chefs, but not. I haven't met anybody who does it like me. Nobody does it better.
Hey, it's always great being number one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So folks are, you know, hearing you sing and they're like, oh, my gosh. What does chocolate cabaret or choco cabaret?
It's choc cabaret.
Choc cabaret. You're going to launch like a Kickstarter or some crowdfunding thing, right?
I'm doing a Kickstarter for Choc Cabaret, a tasting of artisan chocolates and the songs that make you go,
Are you going to, can you tell us some of the perks people will get, or are you going to hold on to them?
No, I can tell you there. I mean, there's a chocolate fist bump. That's the dollar. and my undying cute appreciation. So there's going to be the video of the, there's going to be, they call it video anymore? I don't even know the lingo. The digital download of the show, the MP3s of all the songs in the show. There's going to be tickets for the show. There's private show. That's the big, gigantic reward is me coming to your house and doing dinner and the show with the band, the Tempered Souls, which is my, which is my chocolate band. We have private chocolate tours in the city with me singing. A singing chocolate tour is one of the perks. There's a public chocolate tours. There's recipes. These are my t-shirts.
Love
with,
them.
With that, the recipes on the back. That's part of one of the perks.
Oh, wow. Cute.
Yeah, so I designed a line of t-shirts that have my chocolate illustrations and recipes on the back. So that'll be one of the perks. We have the interesting thing about Choc Cabaret that I didn't tell you is that it's not only going to be the first chocolate tasting set to music, it's going to be the first chocolate tasting set to music that you can watch live in a New York nightclub or live in your living room. Wherever you are.
So folks need to either be following you on Twitter.
Yes. Diva That Ate New York on Twitter.
Or they can go to JackieGordon.com so they can be looking out.
I have a Launch Rock page too up. So I think it's ChocCabaretSignup.JackieGordon. If you go put in Choc Cabaret, you'll probably come up with the Launch Rock page as well. And but you can sign up for my website on my mailing list on my website, JackieGordon.com.
Cool. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to talk more with Jackie. And here's more of her music. So keep listening to Hot Grease on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
There was not a moment of remorse. There was not a shadow of a doubt. I'm just so grateful I kept a straight face when that cracked single asked me out. I said, I know that you're mild-mannered and you melt evenly, but that ain't the stuff that's gonna sate my fromage fantasies. If I could date cheese, there'd be nothing better than nibbling on a Vermont cheddar while we explore his pedigree. An evening with Gruyere could be quite the snug affair. In his fondue until I blush. Camembert de Normandie could sweep me.
Oh my gosh, I love that, Jackie. Folks, welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Today, my show is being engineered by Joe G, and White Oak Pastures is sponsoring this episode of Hot Grease. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. The location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. So we were just listening to I love that. What is that? Say cheese? What's the
it's
name?
It's called If I Could Date Cheese.
If I Could Date Cheese. Love it, Jackie. So we're talking, chatting with Jackie Gordon. She's the owner of Divalicious Chocolate, a blogger, an event producer. You're all things, Jackie.
I do a lot of stuff.
And you have a lot of things coming up. This is a busy time of year, right?
We have Pie Party coming up this week, which is kind of exciting. One of my most favorite events that we do. So we have, 70, 80 food bloggers all coming with pies on Thursday. And we're just going to sit around and talk about pie and eat pie.
Yeah, you're great. Every, quarter, I would say, you do some kind of really cool event to bring together food bloggers mm-hmm. in New York City.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, you know, I used to throw these events by myself. So I would do things like Chinese New Year potluck alone.
Yes.
30 dishes made by me. And then when we did the first Chinese New Year potluck, I was like, oh, you mean I don't have to work this hard?
So, okay, because I'm sitting here, I have so much stuff to do, and I really want to come to this pie thing. Do I have to bring a pie? So if people are listening to this show now and they live in New York City and they're like, huh, I want to come to the pie potluck. I think you have to bring a pie, huh?
You do have to bring a pie, but it's actually sold out. So you can,
you'll let me in. Thanks.
You're making buttermilk pie, right?
I'm going to try. So, wow, people really, what I find about your events is folks need to be on your email list.
They do. I have different email lists, so they need to be on my email list to find out about it. Yeah.
What other cool things, events and things you have coming up?
Well, we've got the holiday cookie swap for food bloggers coming up in, I think it's December 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we'll have Chinese New Year potluck again in the new year. I should do some canning sometime between now and then. I've got, I have a huge garden over in Borum Hill. And I grow vegetables and tomatoes and zucchini.
What do you have in your garden now?
Well, right now we're towards the end. We have some green tomatoes going on, and I harvested a spaghetti squash yesterday.
How big? Did you put a picture on Twitter? A photo on Twitter
of the squash?
Yeah.
No, I was kind of embarrassed because after I harvested, I went on the internet and realized that I didn't let it ripen on the vine. I went, oh. I see you're green. You're supposed to be yellow. So I put it back in like a cage out in the yard so the squirrels couldn't get to it, and hopefully it'll ripen and turn yellow out there.
Interesting.
I was a little zealous. It was beautiful. It's huge. I didn't put a picture up. But I do, if you go on my Instagram feed, you'll see tons of pictures of my tomatoes. And I had tons of cucumbers. I made bread and butter pickles this year.
Oh, cool.
That was fun. And I just made the chutney that I gave you. I did a little canning in the summer, which I don't usually do early. But I guess you got to do it when it's in season.
Yeah, I think that's how we met. We met at
Brooklyn Swappers.
The very first BK Swappers. Mm-hmm. We were
VIPs now.
I know, right? I haven't been to a BK Swapper in a long time. And I think, actually, I saw your tweet yesterday. I think you were at a Grub Street Hester Fair Festival, but we missed each other.
No, I wasn't there. I was sitting there wishing I were anywhere but sitting home writing all day yesterday. So I wasn't there. I was just kind of living vicariously through other people and going.
It was really cool. I mean, I'm going to say this, and you probably appreciate this. They had a lot of new international not international, but just new vendors that you typically don't see.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, like Miss Lily's was there. Mm-hmm. Buka, which is this new vegetarian Ethiopian spot. You may have heard of them.
No, I don't know.
This is my first time seeing them. Mm-mm. They're there. Their food looked absolutely delicious. Rice and miso every day. They're at the Flea all the time, but I'm just like in love with them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I haven't been going to a lot of food events, but I went yesterday, and maybe because yesterday was so gorgeous.
It was gorgeous.
I was like, oh, this is fabulous. This is really fabulous.
No, I got out on Saturday, and I went to Mama Fuku. There was a food blogger in town from Florida, and that's where she wanted to go. Her husband wanted to go there. Again, we went there last time that they were. And then we took them on a little tour. We went to Pudding. Have you been to Pudding?
No, is that rice pudding spot?
No, it's like pudding. And it's on St. Mark's Place. Like Pudding by Cleo. And the pudding's awesome. The chocolate pudding, the butterscotch pudding, little parfaits, a pudding. I've gone gluten-free. Did I tell you that?
No, really? I mean,
gluten-free until pie party is what I've done.
So you're just trying to see if you feel better?
Yeah, it's probably been since I got off the cruise. I did stop eating gluten pretty much. I mean, every once in a while, a fried oyster will pass my lips. And ramen definitely passed my lips the other day. But, when you're in Rome, you have to eat ramen. And I feel lighter from cutting it out.
Yeah, that's what people say. I mean, people I know that don't have, celiac problem that go gluten-free, they were like, I feel so much better. I feel very clear and my thoughts are clear. Yeah, I keep saying I'm going to try to do it.
It's hard. I mean, it's interesting. You have to be on your game. You have to be able to cook for yourself and be on your game. And you got to keep a lot of grains around. I have to have my other substitutes. I'm not I don't want to eat gluten-free stuff that's stuff trying to be gluten. So I don't eat like cakes that are gluten-free. Yeah. I don't, because I haven't found anything that I really like. It usually tastes like sand in the end. I'm like, that's not good. But I eat like, you know, tortillas, corn tortillas, and I keep quinoa, millet. I made amaranth popcorn.
Yeah.
You know, made little, that was cool. So there's, you know, there's, I just eat a lot of rice.
Well, there are a ton of great cookbooks that are out now that talk about ancient grains and all that stuff. So maybe I'll try. You know, you have to stay away from, I come to Roberta's every weekend.
Yeah, that
you know,
would be hard.
I love my loaf of City White Roberta's bread and the sticky buns.
And the pizzas are beautiful. I mean, there is not exposing yourself to that, well,
maybe,
that helps.
So maybe after this show, maybe you can just, you know, slide, let Monday slide and have some pizza with me.
Maybe, you know, because I am corruptible.
Yes. Jackie, thank you so much for coming on Hot Grease.
So much fun. Thank you for having me.
I look forward to playing the music on Hot Grease.
Mm-hmm.
I love your music. And once again, folks, if you want to check Jackie out, she is Diva.
The Diva That Ate New York on Twitter. And JackieGordon.com is my website. And yeah, that's also my blog name, The Diva That Ate New York. So you'll find me. I'm out there. I'm exposed.
There you have it. Thanks so much, Jackie. Listeners, thanks so much for tuning in live to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Remember, you can join me here every Monday at 3:30 Eastern Time on HeritageRadioNetwork.org or find me on iTunes or Stitcher. You can just put Hot Grease in and find me there. But until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.